magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 19th, 2017, and we're picking up right where we left off yesterday as Moody Radio and Unlocking the Bible has adapted Colin S. Smith's book, Heaven, How I Got Here, into a two-hour radio drama depicting a first-person fictional account of the conversion of the thief on the cross. As read by actor Stephen Baldwin, we'll continue with part three, saving the conclusion for tomorrow, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Here's the story narrated and read by actor Stephen Baldwin.
Chapter 5. Love. 11:50 a.m. The bright sun dazzled my eyes. So I looked down to the small group of friends standing in front of Jesus. One of them was called Mary, and it became clear to me that she was Jesus' mother. There was a radiant beauty about Mary as she wept and watched and waited. Surrounded by hatred, she exuded love. It seemed to me that Jesus Christ was more hated and more loved than any other person I had known. I thought about my own mother and was glad that she was not there. I had already broken her heart with the choices of my life, choices that led to years of estrangement. On top of all of that, if she had to endure seeing me on a cross, I think the pain would have been unbearable for her. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. I tried to imagine what it was like for her to watch her son suffer. I had come to trust him in the last hour, but she had loved him from the day of his birth. Now the brow she had kissed as she put him to bed was crowned with thorns. And the hands she had held as she taught him to walk were pierced with nails. I looked at her and felt compassion. It was a strange sensation for a heart that was more familiar with hate than with love. Over the years, I had hardened myself. My lifestyle demanded it. Grit and steel were my familiar friends. Compassion was far from me. But now, enveloped in pain, I felt compassion for a woman I did not even know. Something good was happening in my heart, and I knew that it was happening because of Jesus. Love had been a stranger to me. My mother had loved me in her own disciplined way, but I had long since broken away from family, from the crowd I ran with. Loyalty on the basis of self-interest was the standard substitute for love. Think about the love that you have experienced. Love usually comes with a reason. Your mother loves you because you're her child. Your spouse loves you because he or she is drawn to something in you. Your friends love you because they enjoy your company. But Christ loved me without a reason. He cared for me without cause. His love is its own explanation. Christ loves you for no other reason than that. He loves you. I experienced the beginning of that love through my encounter with Jesus on the cross. Here in heaven, I am still discovering the full extent of his love, and the more I discover, the more joy I have. Whatever your experience of love or the lack of it in your life, there is love for you in the heart of Jesus Christ. I saw this as he prayed for his enemies and as he promised paradise to me. But that was only the beginning. I was about to discover more. With all the noise and clamor that had been taking place, I was struck by how little Jesus said. since the ordeal began, he had spoken only twice. He had called on his father and prayed for his enemies. "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing." Then he had spoken to me. "Amen. Today you will be with me in paradise." Now Jesus looked down at his mother, and in spite of his agony, he raised himself up and drew the breath he needed to speak. "Woman," he said, "behold your son." He wasn't referring to himself, but to a man standing beside her, who I know now to be John, a disciple of Jesus who later wrote the fourth gospel. John had stood with Mary and the other women all morning. Now Jesus assigned him the son's duty of caring for his mother. "Woman, behold your son," he said to Mary. Then to John he said, "Behold your mother." This expression of love made a deep impression on me. The crowd, the Pharisees, the soldiers, and the other thief were all consumed with themselves, as I had also been. But into this hell hole of suffering and self-interest, Jesus brought love. It streamed out of him to his enemies, to me, and now to his mother. The death of a son or daughter brings irreplaceable loss to a mother. A grieving mother may have other children, but they can never take the place of the one who was lost. John could care for Mary, but however kind he was, he could never take the place of Jesus. For 33 years, Jesus had been Mary's son, but he was and is the Son of God. He took on human flesh from his mother so that he could become our Savior. But as he hung on the cross, with the blood draining from his body and the life of his flesh ebbing away, the relationship between Jesus and Mary was changing. Mary stood at the foot of the cross crying out, "My son, my son, my son." But Jesus was saying, "You must no longer think of me as your son. From now on, John is to take that place in your life. Regard him as your son." So how then was Mary to regard Jesus as her Savior and as her Lord? When the angel told Mary about the son she would bear, Mary said, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary had looked to God as her Savior, and this is how God saved her. Jesus, God's Son, went to the cross and laid down the life he had drawn from Mary. His body was broken. His blood was shed. Mary's son died, and in his death, he became her Savior. Mary lost an irreplaceable son, and she gained an incomparable Savior. Her gain was far greater than her loss. You already know about the hate that was in my heart, the blasphemy I spoke against Jesus, and the crimes I committed against my fellow man. I was the bottom of the pile, the worst of sinners. But Christ became my Savior, and because of him, I am in heaven today. Mary was at the other end of the moral spectrum. I can't imagine a more godly woman than Mary. She was patient, kind, good, and true. A woman of virtue, blessed by God, and a blessing to others. And Mary is in heaven today, not because Jesus was her son, but because he is her Savior. If she looked to Christ to save her, every person who has sought to live a good life must do the same. Here's the amazing thing that I still can't get over. I had lived a life that was as bad as they come. Mary lived a life that was as good as they come. Yet both of us entered into heaven precisely the same way, through faith in Jesus. In the words he spoke to me, and then to Mary, Jesus embraced the worst and the best of humanity and reconciled us both to his Father. So wherever you are on the moral spectrum, Jesus Christ is the Savior for you. Two misconceptions keep many people out of heaven. One is that they are too bad to come to Christ, and the other is that they are too good to need him. You may be as wretched as me, as righteous as Mary, or somewhere in between. Wherever you are, don't let the bad or the good you've done keep you from embracing Christ as your Savior. In these last hours on the cross, the steely-eyed hatred that filled my heart when the day began melted like snow on a warm afternoon. Something had changed inside of me. I knew that Jesus had made me a different person. The heart that had been filled with bitterness now felt compassion. The mind that had been hostile to Jesus now trusted and believed in him. The will that had been hell-bent on pursuing my own way now desired more than anything to honor Christ. I never experienced anything like this before. The religion I was brought up with attempted to change me from the outside in. Do these things, and you will be a good person. It never worked. All I can say is that when Christ's word went into me, my heart changed, and I believed. I now understand why Jesus spoke of this inner change as being born again. I was changed from the inside out. So here we were, a scoundrel on the cross and a saintly woman standing below, and both of our lives changed forever by Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Heaven, How I Got Here, the story of the thief on the cross. It's an audiobook, as read by actor Stephen Baldwin, based on the paperback book written by Colin Smith, and Pastor Colin is with us here. Such an important point for us to really bring out and to think about. Here you have the thief who doesn't deserve heaven, who realizes he needed a Savior, and here you have Mary, the mother of Jesus, this godly woman, who also realizes, I need a Savior.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. You have the best and the worst of humanity right here at the cross. And I think it's important to remember that Mary says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Hmm. She looks to God to be her Savior. So right here at the cross, we have the best and the worst of humanity, and both are being saved in exactly the same way. And here's how that relates to us. Some people miss out on heaven because they think, you know, I'm too bad to come to Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, the thief on the cross had to get over that, and he did. And others might be in danger of thinking, I'm so good, I don't need to come to Jesus. Well, look at Mary. She says, God is my Savior. We all need a Savior, and God saves us through Jesus Christ.
Well, if you maybe have questions about what it means to come to Jesus in this way, you see yourself either in the thief or in Mary, but realize you need a Savior, I hope you'll contact us here at Unlocking the Bible. Our website is unlockingthebible.org, or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. We do have to take a short time out, but we'll come back and continue with Chapter 6 right after this.
Not many men open their eyes in the morning knowing it's their last day on earth. This is it. This is the day I die.
Heaven, How I Got Here by Colin S. Smith.
There are no words to describe the pain of crucifixion. All I can tell you is that hatred sustained me.
Heaven, How I Got Here is the story of the thief on the cross, read by actor Stephen Baldwin.
Jesus, I said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Clinging to life by a slender thread, I gasped for breath and waited for him to respond.
Told in his own words, The thief looks back from heaven on the day that changed his eternity.
So that's my story, and I'm telling it so you will get here too.
Get your copy of the audiobook, Heaven How I Got Here, at unlockingthebible.org.
You're listening to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends with a special adaptation of the book, Heaven, How I Got Here. And if you missed a portion of today or Monday or Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. Now back to the story, Heaven, How I Got Here.
Chapter 6, Darkness, Noon. What in the world just happened? Did I black out? No. 1 minute the sun glared down on us, and the next we were plunged into complete darkness. Not slowly, like on a stormy day, but instantly. Complete darkness. We went from midday to midnight in a moment. It was the scariest thing I've ever experienced. My first thought was, God's judgment must be falling on the soldiers who had struck and nailed Jesus, or maybe on the people who had mocked him, or on the leaders who had condemned him. But that didn't happen. All of them slept in their beds that night and woke to continue their lives the following day. The judgment of God was falling on someone else that day. And now I know who it was. Jesus, the Son of God, was about to die. Jesus himself was coming under the judgment of God. The crowd had been quite sure that they were on God's side, and that he would affirm their condemnation of Jesus. If they were right, trusting Jesus would turn out to be the greatest mistake of my life. My head spun with questions about what just a few hours earlier I had come to believe. Then, Jesus' agonizing cry broke right through all of my questions. My God, why have you forsaken me? I felt a gut-wrenching anguish as these words echoed through the eerie darkness. Had God abandoned Jesus? This terrified me. I had put my trust in Jesus, and he had promised paradise to me. But if God had forsaken him, what hope was there for me? My new faith was being stretched to the limit. When doubts crowd in, and you find yourself in darkness, go back to what you know about Jesus. That's what I did, and it got me through. I didn't know much about Jesus, but it was clear to me that his suffering was a travesty of justice. That was why I said to the other thief, "We are receiving our due reward, but Jesus has done nothing wrong." I rehearsed this truth to myself. This man has done nothing wrong. Why would a man who had done nothing wrong find himself under the judgment of God? Why would a man who had done nothing wrong be crucified on a cross? The most hideous method of death ever devised. I now know the answer. And the more I think about it, the more astonishing I find it to be. Jesus suffered the judgment that was due to me. The crowd was sure that Jesus was under God's curse, and in a sense, they were right. He was under God's curse, but the curse did not fall on him for his own sins. He had none. He came under the curse for the sins of others. He endured my judgment so that I could enter into his reward. Even here in heaven, I still can't get over this. My sin was laid on Jesus. The guilt of my theft, my blasphemy, and my godless, selfish life was lifted from my shoulders and transferred onto him. He bore my sins. they were laid on him. More than that, he took all the sins of every person who would trust in him. He carried their guilt and judgment in full. The cumulative weight of this is unimaginable to me. Only Christ could have borne it. And this was the reason why he was pierced and crushed. It was for sinners like you and me. Without Jesus, I would have carried my sins into my death and emerged on the other side to face the Almighty. All that I had endured at the hands of men would only have been a prelude to what I would have suffered at the hand of God. But Jesus carried my sins into his death so that I should not carry them into mine. I suffered the judgment of men, but through Christ and all that he endured in the darkness, I was saved from the judgment of God. That's why I'm in heaven today. Some say I trusted Christ at the last moment. But the way I look at it, I trusted Christ at my first opportunity, and that's what you should do. Trust him now. Chapter 7, Agony, 2:59 p.m. Trusting Jesus is never a passport to a pain-free life. That's not his promise. Heaven is. Forgiveness is. The strength to bear up under all that you suffer is what he promises and what he gives. Some folks have the idea that if you trust in Jesus, he will take the pain out of your life. He certainly didn't do that for me. Pain shot through the nerves of my body as much after I trusted in Jesus as it did before. With every hour that passed, my pain increased as the wounds from the nails in my hands and my feet widened under the weight of my body. Fever raged. Dehydration followed. My whole body was burning up. It was the same for Jesus, and that is why he cried out, "I thirst." Despite their barbarity, the Roman soldiers sometimes offered a mild sedative to their victims before crucifixion. Earlier in the morning, they had done this for Jesus, offering him wine mixed with gall. Jesus refused the sedative. Any compassionate person would say to him, "Drink, take the sedative, dull your senses to the horrors you are about to endure." But he did not take it. Why? At the time, I despised him for this and counted him a fool. But when I asked him to remember me, I was so glad that his senses were not dulled, drugged, or drowsy. Christ was fully conscious, and that meant he was ready and able to save me, to pray for his enemies, and reach out in love to his mother. Becoming a man meant that Jesus' body had a central nervous system just like yours and mine. So the physical agony of crucifixion was the same for Jesus as it was for me. But there was more to his pain than the physical agony. What Jesus endured went far beyond what I experienced that day. When Christ became our sin-bearer, he was alone in the darkness. The guilt and stench of our sin was on him as he bore the judgment that we deserved. Jesus had always enjoyed the love of his Father, but now that blessing had been taken away. He couldn't feel the Father's approval. He couldn't reach his comfort. At his hour of greatest need, Jesus was alone. separated from his father, rejected by his own people, abandoned by his disciples. He was stretched out on a pole suspended between heaven and earth, and rejected by both. From the deepest darkness, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Nothing that I had endured came close to what it meant for him to be forsaken by his father. And there's more. Jesus experienced hell on the cross. Some people think that hell is a myth, but I tell you that hell is as real as the cross. And it's more than just a way of describing something really bad, much more. Hell has six dimensions, and Jesus experienced all of them on the cross. He was in conscious suffering. He was in blackest darkness. He was surrounded by demonic powers. He was bearing sin. He was under judgment. He was separated from the knowledge of the love of God. That is hell. I endured the pains of crucifixion, but I did not experience the agonies of hell. Jesus endured them for me, so that I would never have to know what they are like. The more I think about this, the more staggering it gets.
Wow, a powerful first-person recounting of the fictional account of the conversion of the thief on the cross, adapted from Colin S. Smith's book, Heaven, How I Got Here. We'll continue right here where we left off on tomorrow, the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.